that I remember how to spell bananas.
What's going on, man?
What's up, dude?
All right. Well, we did a fun jolts last time, kind of going over our major four favorite Philly teams, and you know, had an interesting discussion about, you know, just kind of the current status thereof their teams. And I mean, what did you think about that talk, man?
I thought it was really good. You know, and it gets us into, like, I think it showed a lot of what we think their current needs are, and it allowed us to talk about some great players in the past that maybe we wouldn't normally talk about. Like, when are we going to talk about Eric Allen besides me getting pissed off when he doesn't get into the Hall of Fame? You know, like, we're not typically talking about him.
No, yeah, I think that was the coolest thing. It was like we were able to kind of really dive into what the teams needed now, but then reflect back and say, okay, let's bring back an Eric Allen. Let's bring back a Pete Rose. You know, and we, you know, we even both flirted with the notion of, you know, considering, you know, the same players all across the board. We looked at different ones or whatever, but we tried to go off of what would absolutely be the best fit that could have, you know, taken him over the top or, you know, just brought him up to the next level. I don't know that the Flyers could have been taken over the top, but
you know. I mean, it could, it, I think Eric Lindros on this team makes them a playoff team. I don't know if they're necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Next level, but not winning the Stanley.
Right.
But let's, you know, so, you know, kind of in the same vein, continued conversation, kind of went with a concept of, okay, let's look at last year's teams in the sense of, or at least the teams that just finished, really. So we're talking about the Phillies and their exit from the NLCS, the Eagles last year, not the current iteration thereof, the Sixers last year, and the Flyers of last year. So, you know, basically we kind of took this two different ways, you know, looking at, okay, what would be a move that the team could have made, either within or outside the organization. And you went with more inside the organization, right?
So what I did is I need to get better at explaining my texts. So the way I took it was taking, so, like any team that just fell short within our team. So like for me, I used the 2004 Eagles and like the 2009 Phillies, I want to say 2009, 2010 Flyers, and the, or maybe it was the 10 and 11 Flyers and the 2001 Sixers. And what I did is I said, all right, who on our current teams could we
go back? Okay.
Back, and then that would push those teams over the top.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. And certainly we can facilitate some good discussion because it does bring back players from the past too, you know, trying to fill them back in with current players. So let's definitely do that. And then I went with just looking at the teams that basically most recently finished up. I'm not going with the Eagles and they're playing now, or I just went with like basically the last full season of completion. And basically went with, okay, what move could have been made that way? So similar concept, really, except not – I just went back basically a year with those teams, but I went with moves that they could have realistically made, not just hopping in the time machine and, you know, bringing A.J. Brown back to the 04 Eagles or something, you know. let's go with that, man. Do you want to start with the those 04 Eagles?
Yeah, so when I look at the 04 Eagles, God, there were two positions that you really could have, or three, honestly, positions where you really could have improved them and maybe improved their chances to win. First things first is it depends on how you look at Donovan McNabb's performance. If you view it as Donovan played a hell of a game and there wasn't much more he could do to try to will them to a win, then you don't go with Jalen Hurts, which is one of the players that I considered.
Right.
if you look at what happened in the NFC Championship game and see that Chad Lewis, their top tight end, got hurt, then maybe you say Dallas Goedert, you know. But that brings up an interesting question, as Dallas Goedert has improved as a blocker, no doubt, but the tight end position has evolved so much since that era that it's basically a different position at this point. True. So then the other option you look at, because the defense was pretty on point, is offensively, what weapons did they have at wide receiver besides T.O.? You're looking at Todd Pinkston, you know, like.
And I think that's why kind of like, you know, in a way, I immediately, I'm going to hop in steal your thunder there. I was like, can you just imagine AJ on that team? So, sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No, you're good. And that's what really brought it. That my initial thought on it was, oh, it's Jalen. It's Jalen 100%. Jalen Hurts wins that game. But then I started thinking, you know, if Donovan had, if he had one more target to throw to, if they had to worry about covering somebody, that basically two TOs on that team.
Mm-hmm.
But then you question, how does T.O. and A.J. Brown get along? But we're not here for that part.
No. I think that, no, because now you're getting into, like, the weeds there with that. We're just looking at numbers and ability.
I think you put another receiver the caliber of A.J. Brown on that team, so you basically have two T.O.s, and they don't have anything to stop that, really.
No.
So I think, as much as I wanted to go with Jalen on that one, because I feel like, again, I feel like he wins that game for them. You got go with AJ, and then you could win it that way too.
Yeah, because let's not kid ourselves. I mean, Donovan could throw, and if you gave him two weapons like T.O. and an AJ, it's game over, 400-yard days. All day long, all season long. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
You're just talking about just ridiculous numbers. No, that was it's weird. It was like he was my immediate thought as soon as you said 04 Eagles. And I'm just thinking of like game changers, difference makers. And so I went back and you know, like I said, we did this exercise a bit differently. But I looked at last year's Eagles squad, you know, the one that just fell short to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And do you remember like rumors midseason that was around the trade deadline, but it was obviously not anything of substance, but it was kind of like, if you do a little hindsight, it's like, wow, what if that would have happened? And what if they could have, you know, some way like the 49ers pulled off and brought in Christian McCaffrey? And it's absolutely no slight to Miles Sanders or Kenny Gainwell or Boston Scott, but McCaffrey's a game changer. I mean, he just had his touchdown streak broken, last weekend? And that was, 16, 17 in a row or whatever it was? And I can't imagine, he's the over-the-top. That's winning the Super Bowl, and that's winning the Super Bowl probably by, a touchdown or two.
Right.
But I vaguely recall him, because, you know, obviously he was a trade candidate, and I kind of vaguely remember, you know, seeing something, you know, rumored, whatever, that was like low-lying rumor from maybe a nobody like us.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So looking at last year's team, there's two players that I add to that team, and I feel like either one could have tilted the balance.
Mm-hmm.
One of which being Roquan Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Linebacker who ended up going eventually ends up on the Ravens, and you see how he's transformed their defense. Now, the Eagles defense was amazing last year, but you put him on there and it's next level.
Oh, yeah.
But to address your idea, if I'm making an addition to the offense, it is Christian McCaffrey. And here's why. How many yards do you remember how many yards the Eagles rushed for in the Super Bowl?
I don't know off the top of my head now.
115.
That's right. I knew it was over 100, but I just couldn't. Yeah.
Do you know how much of that Jalen Hurts contributed?
I don't.
70.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So there was no running game outside of Jalen.
Right. So between your three backs, so they had 17 carries. Jalen Hurts carried the ball 15 times for 70 yards, 4.7 average, three touchdowns, long of 28. Kenny Gainwell, Miles Sanders, Boston Scott combined for 17 carries for 37, 45 yards.
Yeah.
And were all sub, well, three or below for their average. You put a legitimate, and I'm sorry, you know what? I'm going to trash the entire running back room at this point. You put a legitimate running back in that backfield, and it's a different game.
Yeah.
If Jalen Hurts doesn't have to do all of the running.
Yep.
That was pathetic. That was disgusting, the fact that he had to run for 70 yards to get them over 100 yards. Like, it can't be. It can't be like that.
That's I think that, you know, and I was looking at it in the sense of two games. One, I was actually looking at the NFC Championship, and only on the sheer fact that I know the Eagles absolutely destroyed the Niners, but I don't know that the Niners would have made it that far having not made the McCaffrey trade in the first place.
Yeah.
So I just really wonder what that would have looked like moving forward. But had the Eagles made that move, I don't think it would have mattered. And then it was like, okay, it was immediate over the top in the Super Bowl, but I was also thought, okay, well, what happens? That move isn't made. The Niners don't get that far. Who do they really have to go against? And then I thought, it doesn't matter.
Right.
At all. So I don't know. That's kind of where I went with that one. It was interesting, but yeah, I definitely agree going back though, looking at the 04 Eagles, like AJ all the way. I don't know.
And honestly, if you like to back to, you know, to the Eagles last year, looking at the defense, what the defensive numbers that the linebackers put up last year, Roquan Smith maybe doesn't even tilt it because both your linebackers played well. So
oh, yeah.
I'm 100% with you now. It is 100% Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey wins, puts them over the edge for that game.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No doubt. That's definitely. I think that's why he was on top of my mind on that one.
Yeah.
All right. What sport do you want to hop over to next?
Let's go Phil's. Let's go kind of the same order we went last time.
All right. So you were looking at the 09 Phil's, right? The one that lost the series to the Yankees.
Yeah. So again, this is one where when I initially thought about it, I was like, oh, easy, Bryce. But it's not easy. Because because that outfield, if you think about it, Raul Jimenez was in the MVP running for the first
year. Yeah, he had a heck of a year that year.
Yeah. Center field, you've got Shane Victorino. And right field, you've got Jason Worth. So who are you taking out of that lineup? Because I'm not taking anybody out.
Yeah, you're not. And back then, there was no DH other than when you're playing at Yankee Stadium.
Right.
So
then you start looking at the infield. All right. So first base, Ryan Howard. He was still good, Ryan Howard.
Still popping like crazy.
So you're not taking him out. Second is Chase. You're not taking him out. Shortstop was
J-Roll.
Oh, yeah. How the fuck did I forget J-Roll? Jesus. And then third was Pedro Feliz. So Pedro Feliz, third base, that's the first position that I feel like position that I start thinking about. Catcher's Chooch. I don't know that I replace.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you're going with a solid catcher that was, to me, maybe didn't have the numbers of Yadier Molina, but worked that staff like none other.
Right.
Exactly. So that's and it's the irreplaceable qualities.
Right. You know? And that, so the ability to work the staff is what makes him stay.
Yeah.
Over JT. So, all right. So we've identified one position in the field. However, Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels, J.A. Happ, Pedro Martinez, and who was the fifth starter? Was it Blanton? Or Blanton was in the mix? Blanton was three, maybe? Jay had four and Pedro Martinez was five. I think I'm going starting pitching, and I think I'm giving him Wheeler.
I could see that.
I mean, there were points where the offense was kind of during that series, but by and large, it wasn't the offense that failed him.
No, I pulled up the games. So game one, Cliff Lee started. Game two, Pedro started. Game three, Cole started. And then it went back around. Let's see. Game four was.
Oh, that's when Cliff fell apart, wasn't it?
No, he was in five. Joe Blanton started. So there's your change right there. Because you're likely not going to swap out those first three, Cliff, Cole, right, or Pedro. But now Cliff won game five. Pedro loses game six. So, but no, I agree. If you swap out like Blanton there, I mean, dude.
I mean, not to say that he didn't contribute, because he definitely contributed. I remember him hitting that homer in Milwaukee in 08. You know, mm-hmm, he had his moments where he really definitely contributed for the Phillies. But if you have the opportunity to have Zach Wheeler or Joe Blanton, you're taking Zach Wheeler every time.
Oh, yeah, all day long. All day long. And that's the thing, too. Like, I went kind of pitching in my head, too. But the problem is, I don't know that you can go anything other than starting pitching.
Right.
And I don't know that you go anyone other than Wheeler. And, the, you know, as good as Lidge was in 08, was as bad as he was in 09. Now, here's the problem. Who do you take from the, you know.
Right. We don't fucking definitely not throw in the bullpen.
No, you're not putting Kimbrel over there. Alvarado, maybe.
So we talked about potentially Ranger going into the bullpen. Do you take Ranger and make him your closer?
You know, I don't know. I love it and I hate it. I don't know. I'm just so undecided on that. And I think because I like to see him pitch more than four innings.
Yeah, no.
I like to see him be more than just an inning guy. But I think the caveat to that is that he could be your four, five, or six out closer, because he could potentially be stretched out.
Right.
You know, his deal in the season would be, to me, just from watching him, he could give you three, four, maybe five strong innings, but beyond that, kind of a crapshoot. So
yeah, the stamina is just not there.
Now, really, if I'm looking back to the 09 team, I kind of like Alvarado. If he's a bona fide closer, which I know he can shut it down. But other than that, man, I don't know. I think Wheeler's the best choice, because unfortunately, I don't think that if you're looking at the offense, you know, oh yeah, let's put Alec Boehm over Pedro Feliz. I don't know that does anything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and that's where I'm at. Is it? Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna do Boehm, or we're gonna move Stott over a third.
Yeah, and then now it's kind of like, okay, well, you know what? We're just gonna cheat around here. We'll throw Bryce over at third.
Right.
You know
how long does it take before we throw Bryce at third? And
right. And I kind of did that with the Pete Rose thing, but he legitimately did play five games at third, and so he had a little experience. So wasn't like it was completely out of left field. But no, so speaking of the Phillies, though, and looking at the team that just finished and the collapse in the NLCS, and, you know, sour grapes taste kind of, because it's like, look, the 22 team was just kind of not expected to do what they did, and the expectations were ultra high for 23. At least to me, it was like, maybe not win the World Series, but at least get back there.
Yeah.
And I think winning it was, you know, seemed very likely, particularly after they took the first two in pretty easy fashion, and then it all fell apart. But anyway, it's all about relief pitching, and it's getting rid of Craig. And I thought about that. It's like, realistically, this was more the out of the box one that would have never have happened. But if you swap him out with like Josh Hader, I think there's a lot more games closed mid-season on, then you're not getting your positions where it's like, oh yeah, we're up 4-2, and all of a sudden there's nobody out in first and third in a bottom of the ninth or top of the ninth situation. And then you're like having to sit on every pitch because you don't know what's going to happen next. And let's not kid ourselves. Craig's not throwing what, 93, 4, 5 miles an hour, I think, anymore.
Right.
And he's not touching the top of the radar gun like he used to, and he has to be a little more crafty, which to me is not good for a closer. I think you can do that as a Greg Maddux type starter or someone of that ilk. Exactly. Jamie Moore is another one. Doesn't work for a closer though.
Overpowering with
yeah. Two. Yeah. And I actually ran a couple numbers, so I was curious. Kimbrel went 8-6, which is insane. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
What a weird record. 8-6. 3.26 ERA over 69 innings with a 1.8 WAR. Hader was 2-3 with a 1.28 ERA over 56 and a third innings with only a slightly higher WAR of 2.4, but he did it in less innings pitched, and that ERA speaks volumes to me still.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. You know? And so you're talking almost two runs exactly less, and I know the Phillies are linked to him now. So if they're going to make a move for a bullpen piece, that I think they would be wise to look at him. I don't know that that's going to happen, but
hey, you know who else is out there? Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, and I don't know that I like him as a closer. The Rangers certainly didn't use him as a closer. They were using Leclerc all season. Chapman was their setup guy. Chap can still throw 105 miles an hour, whatever. I don't know. I don't know if I trust him as a closer, but he'd be really cool to have, you know, hanging around with Alvarado and maybe Sir Anthony get his head right.
Especially if you're going to end up putting Ranger in the bullpen as a closer, mm-hmm. who better to learn from? Have the setup be Chapman and have Ranger be the closer.
I do like that. I think Ranger would fit well there. He certainly has the mental capacity for it because he's such a cool, calm, collected pitcher. And I would just, could you imagine like the last out just is a ground ball to him? Because he has the best, like, nonchalant, just holds it for a second, looks at it, signs it.
Signs it, draws a picture, selfie with it, and then throws it over.
Then throws it to first base. I mean, it's just the craziest stuff. All right, so we did Eagles, did Phillies. What do you want to do next?
Let's go Flyers, and let's see. Of course, I didn't do this ahead of time, but all right. So the 2009-2010 Flyers were it's the last time they made the Stanley Cup Finals there. And so looking at our current team, and this is where it gets tough because the current Flyers aren't great. But the current Flyers do have one position over the 2009-2010 Flyers, and that's in goal. With one Mr. Carter Hart.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that's a good one.
And so, you know, throwing him on that team, cause you could go like secondary scoring with like a Cam Atkinson, or you could go with like Sean Couturier, or you could go with like TK, but at the end of the day, what they really needed and what they were amazing about all season or all through the playoffs is that their goaltending, it didn't matter who was there. Whoever was in net was standing on their head, whether it was Boucher, whether it was Esch, whether it was Layton, they were all just, you know, it was insane. So I think if you throw a steady presence in there, you know, playing behind that defense, behind that team, I think that Carter Hart brings you a cup.
Yeah, I like that one, man. And I, you know me, I don't follow a lot of hockey. I did flip on the game last night for a little bit.
Great game last night.
After the Sixers had lost, but which I watched some of that too. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I don't know. Really clamoring for some Philly sports, apparently. That bye week, man, really threw me off.
Right? Dude, no, for real though. Hold on, real quick. Bye week. I'm like, hey man, y'all got any football games? Like fucking Tyrone Biggums and shit.
Yeah, it seriously, no, man. It was crazy because like I was following along on my computer to the Sixers Pacers game the other night. And of course, so I flipped on the only basketball game that we had on TV. It was the one where those two prominent centers, Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren. It was the Spurs and the Thunder. That's what it was.
I don't know. The two teams I don't give a fuck about.
Yeah, but the Thunder won by like 50 points. So it was not a game, really. It was ridiculous. Jeez. But I'm following like to a much better game on the computer. And it's like, man. But then they flipped and showed it for like a minute. And it's like, ooh. And then they went back. It's like,
oh of course they did. Bastards.
But I'm looking at the Flyer stuff, and the way I framed all mine was really looking at just the last season, so the 22-23 squad, and I basically put this. I really had no thoughts because let's be honest, one player wasn't going to fix that disaster.
yeah. As far as throwing somebody from, you know, any changes they could have done. The only thing I'll say for them for last year is they really, if Tortorella doesn't blatantly put people in the doghouse and devalue them to the point where they, you know, other teams are like, well, yeah, they clearly don't give a shit about this player, so we can get them on the cheap in the offseason instead of trying to trade for them ahead of time and stuff like that. Or like devalue them to the point where even if they make a trade at the deadline, then you're not getting anything in return. And part of that's Chuck Fletcher too, which thank God he's gone. Their GM that got fired, thank God he's gone because he was god awful. He couldn't fucking sell a turkey to a starving person. Like, he was awful. And so that, so the two biggest obstacles the Flyers had to making any kind of improvement last year. Doesn't matter if the player wanted to come here, like Johnny Gaudreau was their GM. Hell, there you go, right there. Okay. In the offseason, before the season came up, Johnny Gaudreau, Calgary Flame, went to Gloucester Catholic. Flyers fan his entire life. Free agent, wanted to come play for the Flyers. Chuck Fletcher didn't even fucking talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's ridiculous. I mean, come on. Philly guy. Yeah. Like, I mean, it just ain't right.
Yeah. It was the dumbest shit ever. I was so pissed at that. And apparently they had a deal in place when the Flyers traded Claude Giroux. It was with the understanding that he would come back and the Flyers would sign him this offseason. Another guy they never held up their end of the bargain on that.
Mm.
Part of the way that they were able to trade him to the Panthers, because he had a no trade clause.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the way that they got him to agree to go to the Panthers, which he should have just agreed to go to Colorado. He would have won the cup and we would have gotten better prospects, but I digress. Part of the way we got him to wait for his no trade was so that because he was going to sign back. So he knew we were going to be getting some good players and he would sign back with the team. And they fucked him over on that too.
Mm. Yeah,
so not firing Chuck Fletcher. That's going to be my move for the
Flyers. There you go. I like it.
Year. Not firing Chuck Fletcher before the season started, before free agency started, I should say.
Yeah, I like that. And that's a good segue actually into the Sixers that I had. Because I looked at last year's team. And I honestly, you know, again, don't know basketball enough to say, oh, you know, I would slot so and so in here. And like, you know, we had the discussion with, looking at bringing up players to current teams like Dr. J and all that. But for this team, looking at it last year, I was like, I don't really know who I would bring over. I just don't know. And you know, I did this exercise looking at, you know, somewhat realistic people they could have brought in. This to me was completely nothing more than addition by subtraction. Mm-hmm. Just get rid of James Harden.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
They didn't have to bring anyone in. And I think they would have been better.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But I said, if we were going to add someone, though, let's just go with Devin Booker.
Yeah. Dude, addition through subtraction times two. Get rid of Doc Rivers. Get rid of James Harden.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you know,
seriously.
And then so for the – as far as adding to a former team, I went with the 2001 Sixers. And so this one's kind of tough because you would have to get rid of Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Dude, throw – I mean, unless you throw Tyrese Maxey on that team and you get rid of, like, Matt Geiger or something like that, which, okay, yeah. Good. I don't see how Embiid.
Yeah, you got to put the MVP over there. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't see how Embiid doesn't improve that team dramatically.
How about we just put Mutombo on the bench and he can come in and spell him?
Mutombo can come in off the bench. That's not a bad idea.
I mean, why not? I like
you that. Gotta have Cookie Monster on the team.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Maybe he can just keep people cheered up on the bench.
Yeah.
Just talking
with his delightful voice.